Well, hey, as you heard, Kapoor shared, we have an amazing guest speaker this morning. Many of you love and know him, and he's come to share the word with us this morning. So would you welcome Pastor Hanzo Hamamura, my Asian brother from another mother. Welcome, Pastor Hanzo.
I almost tripped on the stage over there. Thanks, Buff, Pastor Todd. Hey, guys, just want to say hello to everybody in all the different locations. Super excited to be here. I'm feeling tired, so Kapua is just going to pray for us, and we're going to go home because she's got it. You know what I'm saying? But I brought her back up here because I really wanted to highlight something that I feel like the Lord is doing through her specifically, okay? I hope that you guys in this theater and all the other theaters, even if you're watching like online, you probably didn't get to see her tithe prayer. But I really, really hope that you guys don't just think that that was like a cute thing or like a cute moment, right? Do you remember when Jesus said that out of the mouths of children and infants, we're going to hear the praises of God? Do you guys remember that? No? Yeah? Some of you remember that? It's in the Bible, though. But Jesus did say that. And I really just felt that so strongly when Kapu was praying for us. And I feel like, I know I told you this last service already, but I feel like everybody else needs to hear this, okay? I feel like the words that you speak to other people are anointed by God to be life-giving, okay? So when you share life-giving words to other people, your friends, people who are younger than you, even adults, okay, that there's a power of God behind that, and he wants you to know that and to continue to grow in that, okay? Like it's a supernatural, crazy, awesome, powerful thing. Right? And you guys maybe don't know this. I was talking to Kapua's mom, Jess. I was talking to Jordan over there too. But Kapua has this dream, this vision, and then this is where you get all like embarrassed and stuff. But she, like all on her own, okay, this is like from Jesus. This is from the Lord, has this vision and this dream to basically have a prayer ministry for the kids' church. Like, do you guys know that we have a prayer team at New Hope Windward? You know that? Have you guys ever been there before? Have you guys visited the prayer team? You got to go, you guys. It's really good. But Kapua was like, we should have that for the kids. Like, why don't kids pray for kids? Now, listen, I don't know about you guys, but that's like the best idea I've heard in a long time. You guys say amen to that? So, Kapua, I just want to support you. I don't know how it's going to happen, but listen, it has to happen, okay? That's from the Lord. So we should listen to what Jesus is saying and speaking to all of the people in the church, right? Not just the adults, but he speaks to the children too. Amen? Okay, thanks, Kapua. You're awesome. Go start that prayer ministry and crush it, okay? God is with you on that. Man, I just feel so good. Like, we should just go home already. Like, I've never seen that before, you guys. Like, she's 11 years old. My oldest son is 10. He has a good relationship with Jesus. He prays and stuff. But he's never come up to me and said, man, Dad, I got to pray for, like, all the kids in the church. Like, what? Like, that's, like, wow. I just feel like, and I hope you feel like this too. I feel like the Lord is just really happy to be here today. I know that sounds weird. Like, of course he's happy to be here, like, all the time. But I just really feel like 7 o'clock service, 8 o'clock service. I don't know. I've been, like, walking around, praying with people, talking with people between services. And I really feel like the Lord is just saying, man, I'm just really happy to be here today. Like, every single one of you that's here, the Lord is just rejoicing over you. And I think you need to receive that before we move ahead with the message, okay? Like, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you struggle with. It doesn't even matter what you're good at or, like, how good of a spiritual person you are. Like, whatever. Like, it's all level. And the Lord is just happy to be here. He's just happy with all of you. And I'm really honored to be here and to share this message. You guys are in a series called What on Earth Am I Here For? And Pastor Dave talked last week about some of the big purposes that God has for your life, right? He talked about there's like 5 kind of major ones and went over some of those. Today, he asked me to come and speak about something that if you've been coming to this church for a while, you're familiar with it already. It's called SHAPE, right? How many of you guys know what that is? You've heard it at least before, SHAPE. Wait, what? What? How many of you guys, y'all, like, have heard about what SHAPE is? I can only see like 10 hands. That just can't be right, right? Okay, anyway, maybe you just don't want to raise your hand. By the way, for all you like shy, don't want to raise your hand people, I know I'm not at this church anymore, but the churches that I speak at and stuff now, like I've become really used to, because I speak at other churches and different ministries and things, I've become super used to everybody like shouting at me when I'm talking, okay? Not to like get off the stage, but like in like healthy agreement and stuff like that, right? So if I say something that resounds in your heart and your spirit and you think, man, that's good, I'd appreciate it if you'd say, that's good. Or, you know, just like amen or like a fist pump, something. And like, I think it just helps all of us. You know what I mean? Like, it makes me feel encouraged when like the church is responding verbally to the goodness of God. Yeah? Amen? Okay. Hey, 10 o'clock. You guys are, I thought 7 o'clock was going to have you guys beat in terms of like, because they're like, you know, 7 o'clock. They're crazy people. But you guys are good too. Okay, so let's keep that up. And then it's going to make me talk better. I think, maybe. I can't prove it, but I think it's going to happen. So here's what we're going to do. Like I mentioned, we're going to talk about shape. For the 10 of you who raised your hands and you know what shape is, I'm going to ask you for some participation right now, okay? In that acronym, S-H-A-P-E, S stands for spiritual gifts. My wife cannot answer. You know the answers. I know you know the answers. Spiritual gifts. H stands for heart. Actually, maybe you should say something. Just add, I like hearing your voice. Okay, so A is abilities. But don't let her answer first, though, okay? Like, okay. Okay, we're going to get to P. If you don't know it, look it up in the thing real fast so you can answer before my wife, okay? P stands for personality. And then E stands for experiences. What is it, honey? Yeah, experiences. Okay, you should not have sat in the front row because I'm going to get distracted and look at you a lot. It's just going to be crazy for me. Okay, now all those things we're going to talk, or I want to share about spiritual gifts and heart. Okay, spiritual gifts and heart. I think I'm going to do it backwards, though. I'm probably going to talk about your heart first and then your spiritual gifts after that. And I feel like with this question, what on earth am I here for? It's a question that everybody in their life has to ask, not just once, but many times, right? Have you ever, like, maybe asked that question when you were younger, and then you think you found the answer, and then maybe you start to get into, like, a career or whatever, you're in college, after college, career, and then maybe you just don't know anymore. Like, maybe the stuff that I had was wrong. Or you maybe start, you get married, you start a family, and then you insert children into the thing, and it just, the things that you thought you knew about your life are different now, and you have different responsibilities, and it makes you question, like, okay, maybe, I don't know, maybe I don't know what's going on anymore, what am I supposed to do with my life, right? Or just like every season that changes in your life, it kind of brings you back to that question, what do I do now? What is my purpose? You're asking God for direction, and I feel like it's a good place to be because it takes us to a place where we have to just get super close with God and kind of get back to that very basic thing of the Christian faith, which is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Whatever you say, I'll do it. I'll follow, right? I think that's the essence of what it means to follow Jesus. And sometimes we just, through the natural course of life and all these things, you know, we just get comfortable. We kind of assume that we know, like, what to do. And then just over time, we sort of start to stray from that. But to always come back to that is a really important thing. And so when we're talking about how to answer that question, I think knowing, one, not just what you're passionate about, but what the Lord has made you to be passionate about, that's a different question. And that's really what I want to focus on. Apart from that, I think it's also important to know that you need spiritual gifts to carry your passions out if you want to do those things with the power of God behind it. Okay, so I'm going to sort of unpack all of those things. I'm kind of confused because 7 o'clock, I said stuff for speaking the message. And then the last service, 8:30, I really just felt like God wanted to wanted me to share different stuff. So now I'm on the third one, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, am I supposed to do the first or something in the middle? We'll figure it out. But let me just talk. And then you guys agree with me and say amen and stuff, okay? Amen. All right. Here's what I want to ask. I want you to ask yourself this question. What am I passionate about? Okay? What am I passionate about? Now, when I asked that question in the first service, and I asked, how many of you just honestly, like, no shame, say you don't know what you're passionate about? And I'm going to tell, I mean, at least half of the hands in the room went up. Okay, so I'm going to guess that that's kind of the same for us as well. Actually, I'll just ask you, how many of us don't know what we're passionate about? Okay, yeah. Okay, good. More hands are going up. Amen. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. Okay, good stuff, Hanzo. Good job getting people to raise their hands. Good stuff. But here's the thing. I feel like, I don't know if you felt this way, but if you raise your hand because you don't know how you feel, my guess is behind the raising of your hand, there's maybe a sense of, okay, I'm admitting that, and that's like a fault, or I feel behind, like I should know what I'm passionate about, and I don't. And I feel like what needs to happen is that if you raise your hand, or even if you didn't raise your hand, but you don't know what you're passionate about, the Lord wants you to know that that's okay. So you don't know what you're passionate about. God wants to walk with you in that process and help you figure it out. Does that make sense? And I feel like that's part of his specialty, because we can think we know what we're passionate about, and sometimes that's true. Like, sometimes you just know it. Like, sometimes you meet people, and then you ask them, hey, what are you passionate about? They have, like, a list, right? And they just, like, they know it. They can pull it up on the spot. They can talk about it and basically make you jealous that you don't have the same answers that they do, right? But then, like, for some of us who don't know that, what we need to understand is that it's sometimes not, be careful how I say this, it's sometimes not always up to us to know those things, because the truth is God has put things in your heart from before you were even born that he intends for you to discover and then work those things out. Okay, now sometimes that takes a process, right? Sometimes it takes years. For me, one of the things that I'm super passionate about now is the church. It's the kingdom of God. It's not just like a local church, but it's the capital C church. And it's just the family of God in general. Like, but I never had that passion when I was growing up, because my family is not religious. We never grew up going to church. We never grew up as Christians. That was something that I decided for myself when I was 25. And ever since that decision was made and that happened in my life, this passion about being a part of God's family and doing something in his family and just wanting to commit my life to seeing his family grow and become healthy. Like, that did not happen until I was 25. But over the years, I've looked back and I've recognized that God planted that seed in me from before I even knew it. It's just that I had to come to him first to have it get watered and let it grow. Does that make sense? And so for some of us, that's the truth, is that we maybe just haven't gone to the Lord yet and asked him, Lord, what are the things that you've put in my heart? And how do I discover those things, and how do I grow those things? That's the beginning point. So I want to encourage you, like, it's not a bad idea, right? Ask the Lord, God, what have you put in me to be passionate about? That is good. And the thing is, when you ask God a question like that, he's not going to be silent, okay? God is not an old Japanese man who is like my grandpa, who was like stern, never said anything, just like sat on the couch and, you know, told me when to be quiet. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, weird example. But when you ask God, he's going to let you know. Maybe not in that moment, because he wants to take you on a journey. And again, like I said, sometimes it takes years to do that. I think the main thing is that you have to be able to come to a place where you're willing to say, I'm not going to just focus on myself and the things I think I'm passionate about. Like, can you come to a place where you can literally lay all of your dreams, all of the things that you think you're passionate about, all of your successes, all of your credentials, and just lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, you know what? All of this pales in comparison to just knowing you, to just being loved by you, to knowing that you love me, you talk to me, you guide me, you've forgiven me of my sins, all of that. Like, I'm so, so glad that we did communion, because we celebrate and remember the death of Jesus. But listen, the Christian life is about the resurrection of the Lord. And it's about walking in the life that he gives us, which is a continual stepping into heaven, not just avoiding hell. Does that make sense? Like, there's so much that the Lord has for us if we'll walk with him to heaven and to the realities of that, instead of just like trying to be good people and just avoid hell. I don't know if that makes sense. Does it make sense? Is it good? Amen? Okay, good. That's not in my notes, so I don't know where I'm supposed to go after that. But asking the Lord, like when I believed in Jesus, when I became a believer, I was, like I said, 25, and my dream, my goal in life was basically to, I was living in LA when all of this happened for me, so my goal and my dream was to basically start a rock band, buy a van that had like shag carpet or whatever, and just like drive around America and like play rock shows. Like, that was it. Like, that sounds pretty good to some people. Hey, look at that, a bottle of water. Hold on one sec. Man. Okay. That's for me, right? It wasn't sealed, like it was open. When it didn't crack. Okay, anyway, what are we talking about? When I, that was what I wanted to do, okay? But I don't know. I got to that point in my life where I realized, you know what? I've been living for myself. This is Hanzo's passion. This is Hanzo's dream. This is what Hanzo wants to do. And I got to that point where I was so grateful for what Jesus did for me, for who he was, that he loved me, like all that stuff. When this, like the pages, the Bible that we read about, when I realized this is not just good advice, but it's true, like it's history, it's real, this is the truth. I just got to that place where I was like, you know what, Lord, like, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Everything I have, like, it's worthless compared to knowing you. You guys remember Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it is Christ in me, in the life that I live in the flesh. I now live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself up for me. Like, that reality, like, until that becomes real for you. And it's like for me, when I said, okay, look, like, I'll just give it all to you, Jesus. I'm going to sell my guitar. I'm going to commit to probably just never playing music again. And if that's what happens, that's great, because all I need is you, and that's more than enough. And I just, like, the people that I know who don't believe in God anymore never got to that place. I don't know if you feel like you haven't gotten to that place, or if maybe you did at one point, but it just, I don't know, things are just kind of strange, like you don't know what to think or believe right now. But until you come to that place, I don't know, this is a blunt way of saying it, but I think you might be living for yourself. And until you can live for Jesus and just live for him and give everything to him, I don't know that it's going to change. I think it's going to be very difficult. I think that it's going to be a life that's filled with tons of questioning, tons of pain, tons of mistakes, tons of regret, all these things. Not to say that you won't face those things if you follow Jesus, because you will, but when you're able to really just let it go and say that Jesus is your everything and just trust in him, and whatever it is, if it's giving up your passions, like, fine, like, he's worth it, you know? Psalm 37 verse 4 says that when you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. And part of my story is that I did, you know, I sold the guitar. I truly told myself, that's it. Like, it's over for me. It's never going to happen again. But I'm okay with that, you know? But when I started serving in the church, getting connected with other believers, just sort of that passion for, like, the family of God growing in me, slowly, like little by little, the Lord started bringing these desires I had back into my heart, because now I was ready for them. Do you see what I'm saying? Now I was at a place where I had the right starting point. I had the right heart, where it was about him and it wasn't about me, but the Lord would, he gave me back the desires of my heart when my delight was in him. And I don't know. I wish I could tell you how to do that, but I can't. that's literally your journey with Jesus. But I want to encourage you to get there, whatever it takes, whatever it costs you, it's worth it. It's worth it, and I want you to get there. I want to tell you about a couple of things. One is I'm a part of a ministry now that really, I think if you're struggling with purpose or the things that you're here on earth for, I think it'll really help you. I have a slide. I didn't show it in the other two services, but if the video team can put it up, it's a slide about something called Kingdom Living. I'm on the core leadership for this. That's the website right there, kingdomlivingoahu.com. It's a 16-week ministry school, and it's all about, basically, in a word, it's about revival. It's about personal revival for yourself, but also just the revival of the church. And I don't want that word to scare anybody off, but basically, I'm letting you know that. I'm showing you the website. If you take a picture of it, or if you put the slide back up, and you take a picture of it or something, you can register for that up until August 19th, okay? And then it starts on the 26th. But I just want to encourage you, okay, to sign up for that. If you feel like the Lord is asking you to do that, I really don't think you'll regret it. There have been a good handful of people from Windward and lots of other churches that I know who've gone through it and have really good things to say about it. So I just want to encourage you in that, because I think it helps answer this question, what on earth am I here for? The second thing I want to tell you about is a friend of mine. She's a young woman. I think she's in her late 20s, but her name is Kelsey. Honey, how old is Kelsey? Late 20s. Okay, yes, I was correct. So Kelsey is one of those people who's passionate about people. Like, she's just a people person, right? Loves people. And in particular, she loves the elderly. Like, that's just her thing. Like, she'd rather go hang out with them than, like, people her age. She's so cool. But what she does is she works full-time as a hospice nurse. Okay, now listen. I have not run into many 20-something-year-olds who wanted to be a hospice nurse full-time. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what she wants to do. She loves to do that. In her spare time, apart from her full-time job as a hospice nurse, she volunteers her time at this at a place called Nile Hulu Kupuna, which is basically, it's an apartment housing complex for senior citizens who need rental and financial assistance, okay? So like a low-income housing for the elderly, for seniors. And for Kelsey, like, she spends, I asked her, how many days a week are you there, like, apart from your job? She's like, at least three. And then whenever I'm in the area, like, what? Like, okay, so basically, like, all the time, right? She's just doing what she loves. She's being around people that she's passionate about. She has a heart for that. Now, listen, if you're like me and like most people, it's like, you have your job. Maybe you like your job. Maybe you don't. But even if you like your job, when you have free time, you don't go and do your job, right? Like, you go golfing, you go surfing, you go, like, buy guitars that maybe you shouldn't buy or whatever, right? Like, you do, like, things that you want to do. And what makes Kelsey, I think, in my mind, different, different in a good way, is that she, her real passion is not just the people. Her real passion is letting those people that she loves, letting them know that Jesus loves them even more. Like, for her, it's all about connecting people to Jesus in their last days. Because even for them, it's worth them spending those days just drawing close to God. And, like, so that's her jam. Like, that is what she lives for. And I came up with these sentences for you guys to take notes on, or you can just take pictures of the screen, because that's what I do now. I don't write anymore because I forgot how. But this is what I want you guys to picture or write down or something. It's that your passion achieves its highest purpose when it glorifies God. Is that good? No? Yeah? Okay, some people think so. I tried to make it all P's, but I couldn't. Your passion achieves its highest purpose when it purifies God? I don't know. That doesn't make sense, right? So whatever. It doesn't have to all start with P's. But I think that that is something that my friend Kelsey has just kind of naturally tapped into. that the reason she is so positive, so happy, is not just because she is like that. I think that's part of it. But what's happening with her is this supernatural thing. It's a weird thing, okay? Because God is totally 100% fueling that passion because it's pointed towards him, right? It's not just that she's passionate about that. It's that she's passionate about God and bringing glory to his name in the things that she's passionate about, right? I think that going back to my less cool example than Kelsey is when I wanted to do the rock band thing and tour America, listen, I'm not just being humble. It was going to be really junk, okay? Like, I don't think Hanzo was going to end up in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or anything. He probably would have just died because the van broke down and he fell off a cliff or something, right? Like, that's, yeah, I know, it's pretty dismal, but I'm just telling you, that's probably not too far from what would have happened. And I could have maybe gotten to a point, maybe it would have been good, maybe I would have been successful or something, but I can almost guarantee you that I probably would have felt empty, that I would have felt unfulfilled, that I still would have felt like my life had no meaning. You guys know this, right? That there are celebrities, you know, people who are rich and powerful and famous, who have like everything that the world can give them, and yet we hear over and over again, you know, multiple times every year about people taking their own lives, about being in depression, about not just like having this sense of discouragement in their lives, and yet they have all the things that we like long for, right? And I think it's because of this. It's because they have not been able to have their passion ignited by purpose because it's for God. So now, when I do things like I get to play guitar again, which is just, I love, you know, guitar, I love music and stuff, I don't do that for the crowds of like rock fan people that I wanted to do it before. Like last week Sunday, I was over at Mountain View Community Church. Some of you don't even know where that is, right? And it's a small church, but I played guitar there. And like, I loved it, right? Because it was for God. Like, you know, I can't roll up to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and be like, yo, I play at Mountain View, right? Like, nobody's gonna care. Nobody knows what that is. But Jesus cares, and it was for him anyway. And I think just that, like the purpose, like having your passion having purpose when it glorifies God. I have a verse for that. I may as well show it to you. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Okay, the context in that verse is that Paul is talking, he's answering a debate that this church is having about whether they should eat food that has been sacrificed to other gods or to other idols. And that's what this is the last sort of sentence that he's sort of finishing up his thought, where he's saying, listen, like, whether you eat or you don't eat, whether you drink or you don't drink, like whatever you do, just do it for the glory of God. You know, don't be a stumbling block to your own faith or to your brother or your sister's faith, but just glorify God in everything that you do. And I think if you can do that about with your purpose, then you're one step closer to answering that question, what on earth am I here for? There's this sense of purpose that just fills your heart. But to kind of take it back to Kelsey again, what she does, okay, because she's not just like a nurse or does these things. On her own, without anybody telling her, she is figuring out ways for the people that she works with and volunteers with to how to like connect them to God. So she organizes her own small groups, her own Bible studies. She organizes things like food drives. She gets us and others of her friends and her church family to come and like help these people move furniture if they need to. But then she's like, okay, Hanzo, I need you to pray for Mark and just get a word from him. I'm like, who's Mark? She's like, well, just pray for Mark. And God's gonna tell you like what he needs to hear. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. So, you know, so we'll do that. Like, she'll just have us like pray for these people that we don't know, but like literally just ask God, what do you think about Mark? God will tell me some stuff, and then I hope it's right, and I give it to her, and then she goes and she helps him move the furniture. She's like, oh, Mark, this is for you. You know, someone like who loves Jesus wrote this for you and just wanted you to have it. And like, I just can't tell you. Like, it's not just me, right? It's like all these other people who she kind of recruits to do this. And what happens to these people when they just get a note or something? I mean, there's so many examples. of a proof that God loves them, there is this supernatural power behind what Kelsey does that is beyond natural. It's a supernatural thing. I want you to take a picture of this or write this down. This is the next thing, is that your passion without God's anointing lacks supernatural power. I don't know about you, but I think in order to find real satisfaction in your life, you need the supernatural power of God behind something. Because if the supernatural power of God is not behind what you're passionate about, you can only achieve man-sized goals. Does that make sense? Like, on your own, you and I, we can do almost anything made in the image of God. It's what we're created to do. We could do almost anything, but it won't have the power of God behind it. If you want to accomplish God-sized goals, God-sized purpose, it kind of just logically makes sense. You need the power of God. You need something that is beyond your natural ability, and that's what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. It's also called anointing, things like that. I think those two things are very, very closely related. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 11, I won't read the whole thing because it's really long. Not that we shouldn't read long passages of scripture in church, but basically what it goes on, this is a very, very central passage of scripture when it comes to spiritual gifts, but it basically says that there are different varieties of spiritual gifts that God gives, but it all comes from the same Spirit. It all comes from the same source. It all comes from the same God. And so he lists all these different gifts, right? Wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, miracles, healing, speaking in different types of tongues or languages, the interpretation of different types of languages. That's supernatural, right? Like to have somebody speak in tongues and nobody knows what they're saying, but somebody who has the gift of interpretation can hear that and just in their spirit know, okay, this is what that person is saying. I don't know how to explain it. I just know it. I know it clear as day, and then share that. That's supernatural spiritual gifting. And here's the thing. I want you to take that spiritual gifts test. It's super helpful. Like, you should do it. It helps you figure it out. But what I really want to draw our attention to when it comes to spiritual gifts, especially if you've been in church for a long time, if you've been in this church for a long time, is that spiritual gifts you don't get all the spiritual gifts that God wants to give you by taking a test. Okay, you don't get all the spiritual gifts that God wants to give you by praying for them in a room by yourself and God just gives them to you. Okay, there are some gifts that will only be given to you or to me when we receive them from other believers. Okay, when we receive them from church elders or church leadership or just spirit-filled believers. I didn't get an amen for that all morning because people are like, I don't know if that's true. I have verses, okay, because that's the one thing that will prove it, right? So here it is, Romans 1, 11 through 12. Paul says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, right? Not to bring you a spiritual gifts test so that you can receive spiritual gifts. I myself want to come and impart something to you to strengthen you so that we'll be encouraged by each other's faith. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 through 15. Paul is talking to Timothy, a young pastor, who says, do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Okay, I mean, you've probably read that before, but like, think about it, right? Like, what Paul is saying is that Timothy received a gift of teaching, a supernatural gift of teaching the word of God, when elders of the church came, put their hands on him, and in prophecy said, you're going to receive the gift of teaching. Let me just kind of share something about myself. When I was growing up as a kid, when I was asked by the teacher in class to read like a sentence out loud in class, that was the worst day of my life. I'm the kind of person, I'm more introverted. I never liked speaking in front of people. It just made me nervous. I sweat. I, you know, started to like freak out and my voice would crack and, you know, things like that. Like, I never, ever, 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 ever wanted to do something in my adult life where I'd be standing in front of people talking to them. Like, that's just like the furthest thing from my mind. But when I became a believer, I had many, many different leaders just kind of impart to me and tell me, Hanzo, you have a gift of teaching. The Lord wants you to grow in that. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, progress in these things. But God has given you this gift. And I was just like, yeah, okay, I'll just do it then, you know? And over time, the gift is something that built up. But I share that because I feel like maybe Timothy was the same way, right? Maybe like a shy guy. That song just popped into my head. I don't want no fly guy. I just want a shy guy. So anyway, who sings that song? Is it En Vogue? Maybe not. I don't think it's En Vogue. It's somebody else. Okay, whatever. We're not talking about that. So I just feel like maybe Timothy was like that, right? Where not, maybe he didn't want that gift. Maybe he wanted the gift of healing or something. But God, the elders gave him by prophecy the gift of teaching, and he grew in that. Okay, one more scripture, 2 Timothy 1:6. Paul again, talking to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Okay, are you guys getting this? That there are some gifts that you cannot receive. You can't will them. You can't pray for them. You can't ask God for them based on how good you are at other stuff. God gives gifts according to the Spirit as he wills. But what we see, like over and over again in Scripture, in the New Testament, especially through Paul's writing, is that some of these things are only given to you when other Spirit-filled believers lay their hands on you and prophesy these gifts and give these gifts to you. So last service, after the 8:30 service, I went out with the prayer team, and that's what we did. We just prayed for people to receive spiritual gifts. I mean, I tell you, that was such a special thing for me to be able to come here today and do that. I'm fully confident that when we prayed for people to receive gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, gifts of preaching, gifts of discernment, like those things are going to happen. They're going to fan into flame. And I would be shocked if New Hope Windward doesn't see more of that stuff in these coming days, because the Lord gave that to people, right? It's not just like, oh, like Hanzo and the prayer team did that. Like, the Lord wanted to do those things, wanted to give those things. It's just up to us to fan those things into flame. That's why I had Kapua come and stand up here for two services and be like, I just wanted to fan that thing into flame. Do you guys agree that she has some kind of prayer anointing or gifting or something? Like, listen, if we don't fan that thing into flame, it's going to fizzle out, right? And I feel like the Lord wants to do that, just this great fanning into flame of spiritual gifts today. Thanks. Thanks, honey. I'll put this last point up on the screen. The main purpose of your passions is to glorify God, but the main purpose of your spiritual gifts is to build up God's family. When you can find what the Lord has put in your heart to be passionate about and use that to glorify him, I'm just telling you, satisfaction, joy, peace in your life is sure to follow. It's sure to follow, as sure as the sun is going to rise tomorrow. When you get spiritual gifts and when you get gifts that you ask for from your leaders to build up God's family, the question of what am I here on earth for becomes kind of something almost of the past, because you're stepping into these things that God wants every single believer to have, every single believer to grow in. I'm going to pray for us in a second, because I want us to have the attitude of receiving spiritual gifts, okay? If you don't know what your gifts are, I'm going to pray that God gives you some right now. I'm going to ask you to put out your hands, but I don't want you to do it unless you really want a spiritual gift, okay? Don't just do it because the person next to you is doing it. Do it because you want to receive some kind of supernatural power from God to build up his family, okay? If you don't, that's fine. Like, nobody's going to judge you if you don't do that. But if you're there and if you want that, I'm going to encourage you to do that. Before I do that, just feel like, is Donna behind any one of these cameras? No? Where is she at? Is she back there? Okay, Donna, if you're nearby, I would like you to come over here. Sorry for putting you on the spot. But if you're not here, that's okay too. If you left, I know you're busy and stuff. I just have this sense that the Lord wants to give you a specific gift. Hey, Caleb, is Donna down there? Hi. Oh, she's coming. Good. That's good. Sorry, can I pull you on stage, Donna? I know that you don't want to be in the spotlight. You can face away from... Come. Yes, yes, yes. I want you to... Because I don't want to stand in the dark. That's why. It's going to be too weird. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you, okay? In your guys' bulletin, you guys see the Special Olympics volunteer opportunity? I just need you to know that this woman right here is a huge, huge, huge part of that, okay? A huge part of that. Yeah, and she deserves some credit and grace. Come. Donna, you don't have to answer into the mic, but what do you think your spiritual gifts are? Serving. That's true. If you know Donna, she has a gift of serving. I'm so sorry to put you on this spot. I love you. I know. I'm so sorry. But I just feel like the Lord wants to give you a gift, okay? Is it okay if I pray for you, that you receive it? I'm going to lay my hands on you. And can you stretch your hands out like you're going to receive something? Okay, Father, right now, I just pray for Donna. I feel like you want her to have the gift of healing, God. I feel like you want her to receive the gift of healing physical bodies, but also to heal minds, Jesus. And so, God, as a church family, we just agree with that. We pray, Lord, that you would pour out this gift in a great measure upon Donna's life. Lord, the miraculous gift of healing, physical bodies, minds, all of these things. God, I just pray that you would pour that out on Donna right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Donna. Sorry for putting you in the spotlight and doing that to you. But, man, I just can't shake that feeling. Okay, everybody else, let's pray. Father God, I pray right now for every single person. Listen, if you want to receive a gift, I want you to stick your hands out. This is not a show. You know, that stuff is not planned or scripted or anything like that. It's not a phony moment. But I fully believe, and I sure hope you believe this as well, that the Lord wants you to receive a gift that he just wants to give you because he loves you. It doesn't, again, like, it just doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're good at. It doesn't matter what you're bad at. If you love Jesus, he wants to give you supernatural power because he's a giver, because he's good, because he has all the power in the universe, and he's not a hoarder. He is a sharer. He's a giver. And so he freely gives beyond what we ask for. Beyond what we ask for. So right now, Jesus, for every hand that is open right now, I pray that you would pour out. Just pour it out, God, all the gifts that you want them to receive. I pray that it would be such that people would feel a weight or a warmth in their hands as they extend their hands, that you're giving them something, that they'd feel the weight, they'd feel the presence, they'd feel the heat of that. I know in the 7 o'clock service, someone was telling me, yeah, I felt that. I just felt this weight in my arms, and it just felt so, so heavy. So right now, Jesus, I pray for that weight of people receiving gifts, Lord God. And I pray that this church would be so much more explosive in power, so much more anointed, that we would see these gifts being put to use in such a way that the rest of the world would look at New Hope Winter from the outside and say, what is going on? How are these things happening? Why are people getting healed? How do people have words of knowledge about my life that I have never spoken to an individual? It must be that God is with them. That is the only explanation. And I pray, aside from these gifts that you're giving out right now in great measure, for a hunger, God, a hunger that will not be filled until this church is operating in spiritual, supernatural power that can only come from you, that can only be explained by you. And so, Jesus, we freely, freely receive right now. We love you. We're so thankful for you, God. And I'm thankful that these gifts paired with the purposes, the passions that you've put in our hearts that are going to grow as we continue to walk with you, that as these things work together, we're not only going to be able to answer the question, what on earth am I here for? We're going to love it. We're going to be so filled with joy. We're going to be able to help other people get to where we're going to be. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Yeho, for having me to be here. I think we have some time. If you want to get prayer out in the lobby, you should definitely do that. I might go out there and pray with some of you guys if you still want to like receive gifts and things like that. Pastor Dave is going to share another message next week, continuing in this series. And I love you guys so much. Thanks for having me here.